Just two remarks before we go to the message. Number one, inculcated in the bulletin this morning is the outline of the sermon, if you would like to follow along and take notes. And then I would like to encourage those of you who are fathers, grandfathers, young men who are here, think of the message this way. Every time that I mention the word mother, you can put in also father. And having said that, let's look to the Lord in prayer. In these quiet moments, we pray, Lord, that you would speak. We thank you for these dear friends who have assembled on this Sunday to worship you. We pray, Lord, for others that are traveling. We ask that you would give them journeying mercies. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us. Help us to keep our minds upon you, and we shall be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it in your name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn once again to the book of Proverbs. We're just going to be there for the reading of this scripture verse, and then we're going to be looking around. Proverbs 31, as we think together on the theme, the stewardship of motherhood. Solomon is writing in chapter 31, verse 28 from the NIV, we read these words. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. The following words were written by William R. Moody, son of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, regarding Mr. Moody's mother, Betsy. And this is what William wrote regarding Betsy. When at the age of 90 her life voyage ended, she entered the haven of rest. Her children, her children's children, and an entire community rose up to call her blessed. He continues, and well she deserved the praise they gave her, for she had wisely and discreetly discharged the duties God had placed upon her, and entering the presence of her master, she could render a faithful account of the stewardship of motherhood. Now let me read that last sentence again. She could render a faithful account of the stewardship of motherhood. I trust that those last words could be said about every mother here today. A good steward of motherhood. We happen to be living in a time, a day in which motherhood has fallen on hard ground. Being a wife and being a mother is insufficient and unfulfilling for a score of women in the 21st century. But I disagree with them. I believe that motherhood is one of the greatest callings in all of the world. According to the Word of God, the Bible clearly teaches that the greatest institution is the home, and the first gift that God can give to any woman is that of being a mother. It is true, without question. The hand that rocks the world, the hand that rocks the cradle, rocks the world. And we know that behind every child is a mother. And what a tremendous force and dynamic influence she is in the life of that child. Now, it's not easy to be a mother, especially today, with all of the problems that we face. It's one thing to give birth to a baby. It's quite another thing to raise a child. It's difficult. It's hard. But praise God this morning, it is possible with God's help. Mothers are greatly needed today, not just mothers, but Christian mothers. And on this Mother's Day Sunday, I want us to look at three Christian mothers upon the pages of the New Testament and the Old Testament. from the Bible and the influence they made on their children. Now, consider first of all, I want us to look at Eunice, the mother of Timothy, who, now get this down, who faced the world with the Word of God. And I want to tell you that's the only way that you and I, as parents, and especially mothers, are going to be able to face the world. We live in an evil society. Jesus predicted it, and he said the last days are going to become difficult even to live. And here was a mother who lived about 1900 years ago, Eunice, on the pages of the New Testament, the mother of Timothy, and she faced the world with the Word of God. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy there in your Bible, chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul writes of Timothy, and he's describing Timothy. And he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. I like that. Here was a young man who lived in turmoil days, and yet he had faith. That's a wonderful description for any young person. If you happen to be in the audience on this Sunday, listening to me now, what a wonderful characteristic of young people. They had faith. And Timothy was a man of faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. Now don't miss what the Apostle Paul is saying here in these words. Timothy, in the world in which he lived, was a man of faith. He trusted in the Lord. And I want you to know that the reason for this can be attributed to the fact that he had a mother and he had a grandmother who were women of faith. Tradition tells us that Timothy's father was an unbelieving Greek, but both his mother and his grandmother were Jewish Christians who passed on their godly faith to Timothy. Now go to chapter 3. And I want you to notice another important verse relating to Eunice, where Paul begins and he writes in chapter 3, verse 15 to Timothy. And he says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Now, we happen to be living in a time when people don't want to know absolutes. And it seems like everything is relative. And because of that, they set their own standards of morality and they do as they please. And one of the reasons that people do not like the Word of God, because the Bible has absolutes. And it tells you precisely what you can do and what you can't do. A lot of people don't like that. So they downplay the inspired, the infallible Word of God. But you notice here now, from infancy, Paul says to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. And that's the only way to become wise and have wisdom, from the instruction that is found upon the Word of God. Now, wise unto what? Wise unto salvation, the good news that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why we read the Bible. It tells us who we are and why God put us here and where we came from and where we're going. If you want to know anything about life, then pick up the Bible and it will give you the purpose for living and the reason behind your very existence. And Timothy found that to be true. And reading the Bible, he came across verses in the Old Testament that gave him the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, most Jewish boys did not begin to study the Bible until they were about 5 years of age. But this was not true of Timothy. He was taught right at home by his mother Eunice, right from his infancy. And she made certain that her son was trained and tutored in the Word of God, because she recognized that it was the Holy Scriptures that was going to open up his heart to his need of Jesus Christ. If you want your children to become Christians at an early age, then you need to read the Word of God, where they will find their need of Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. It is my personal belief that if Eunice had been a member of this church or any other church, she would have made certain that Timothy read the Bible every day, that Timothy had grace at every meal, that Timothy went to church and Sunday school every Sunday. And I will even go a step further. I believe that she probably prayed for Timothy when he went off to school. And let me take that even a step further. As you study the background of Eunice, you've got to come to the conclusion that if she sent her boy to Sunday school, she would do more than that. She would go to church and Sunday school with him, because that was the type of mother she was, as we read upon the pages here of the New Testament. Now let's take a closer look at this glorious Christian mother. Eunice was raised in a God-fearing home by Lois, her mother. Lois, her mother, was no doubt converted under the preaching of Peter, on the day of Pentecost when he gave that great sermon. Hearing the sermon, receiving Christ to be her Savior, she went back home to Lystra to tell her friends. The Bible seems to indicate that Eunice married a Gentile who died at an early age. And there at Lystra, Eunice poured her life and her love into her son Timothy. She brought him up under the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I want to tell you this morning, for you who are mothers, it paid off. You say, how do I know? Well, we could turn, you don't have to, but let me read in Acts chapter 16, verse 2. We read these words about Timothy, that the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. He had a good reputation. It seems like he was well-rounded, spiritually, physically, socially, mentally. He went down life on all fours. And behind that was the influence of a godly mother. And I want you to note, Eunice had to do it alone. It was in a hostile world that she faced, and yet she used the Word of God. She used the Word against the world. And that's the only way to do it. It wasn't easy then, I'm sure, and it's not easy now. And yet she faced the awesome responsibility with the Word of God. She read it carefully. She believed it completely. She applied it consistently. And she shared it continuously with her son. And the people around spoke well of him. And the Word of God had a powerful influence as it shaped and molded the life of this young man. It brought him to a place of salvation. It brought him to a place of separation. And eventually it brought him to a place of Christian service. Because most of us realize this morning that Timothy eventually became a missionary as he accompanied Paul on his second missionary trip. Can you imagine the influence that a mother can make on a child when they face the world with the Word of God? I beg of you, all mothers this morning, all parents, read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, study the Bible, and put those things that you read and you study into practice. Learn from them, because the enemy is everywhere. The world around us, Satan, the flesh, the devil, They'll do everything in their power to trip you up and knock you down. And you and I cannot live without the Word of God. Now, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, recognized that truth. This is what he said. He said, "The Bible for the last 40 years has been the dearest thing on earth to me. And now I give a copy as my first gift to my first grandchild, Irene Moody, with a prayer that it may be her companion through life and guide her to those mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for those who love and serve Him on earth." Every child ought to have their own Bible, one they can write in, study. And you, as a parent and as a mother, you can face the world, no matter what it brings your way, with the Word of God. May every mother here today be committed to the reading and the believing and the studying and the sharing of all that is contained in this marvelous book, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. Eunice faced the world with the Word, and we need to do the same. If you're here on this Sunday and the Bible's just been on the shelf, or maybe you pick it up and lay it down with no more consideration than that of a local newspaper, I beg of you, begin to realize that it is the Word of God. And all that He wants you to know about man and all that He wants you to know about life and living and heaven and hell is all contained in this marvelous book. It's a light, a path that will direct you and me and your family in the world in which we live. And it's not going to be easy, but it can be done with the help of God Himself. Now that leads me to a second point. We have looked at Eunice, who faced the world with the Word. Now I want you to think of Elizabeth, the wife of John the Baptist, the mother of John the Baptist, who faced the future with faith. She faced the future with faith. Now, the beautiful story of faith is unfolded for us in the entire first chapter of Luke. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1, and I want your eyes to linger upon the words found there in verse 6. We read these words about Zacharias and Elizabeth. What a description. There in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Both of them were upright." Let's stop there for just a moment. Now, here were Christian parents. They were upright. They were righteous in the eyes of the Lord. What a description for parents. And how were they upright? It says they observed all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Now, all they had was the Old Testament. They had the Ten Commandments. And here they live for the God of Israel. They were godly parents. And I want you to note at this time in the life of Elizabeth, she was childless, now in her advanced age. But God promised to work a miracle within her life by giving her a son. And the Bible teaches us that this son, by the name of John the Baptist, was going to have a great mission. He was going to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And Jesus even spoke about him later that there was none greater than John the Baptist. But imagine, behind John the Baptist, there was his mother, Elizabeth. And God trusted Zacharias and Elizabeth with the raising of this boy to accomplish His will. He was to prepare the way for the coming of the Christ. He was not the Christ, although some identified Him as the Christ, but He wasn't. He was to prepare the way. Now I want you to note at this time, it was a dark and dreadful period in the history of the Jewish nation. For 400 years, God was silent. did not speak. And during this ensuing time, Israel continued to be in bondage to foreign rulers. And then came the day when God's silence was broken. Israel struggling to survive under Roman authority, God was looking for a woman that he could use to help prepare the way for the coming of his son. Now, it was against this background that he chose Elizabeth for that purpose. Now, I want you to notice the words found in verses 14 through 17 regarding what it says of John the Baptist. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other firmament drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn their hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, what a mission. You know, I want to tell some of you mothers, you never know in the raising of your child and your children that God might just have someone that he's going to use. Whoever thought that when Ruth Graham gave birth to her first child and her children, that they would be in the Christian service that they are today, or even Billy Graham's mother. Look at the work that Franklin Graham is doing. When Natalie and I adopted Suzanne, and when she was a little girl, accidentally, the automobile ran over her little tummy, we thought we lost her. And while she was recuperating, Linda, who was a student at Gordon College, she ended up marrying Eleanor's brother, Robert. And she roomed with one of the Graham daughters. And one of the Graham daughters came over and to our house and signed a little whatever it was, and put her name on it that Suzanne might have it. And Ellie and I just got word yesterday that she is coming up to Linda, who's now a Christian counselor in the state of Maine, and she's coming up to speak. And as I read the litany of the different things that even being brought up in Billy Graham's home that she's gone through, but she's coming to share her faith. Now, a child raised in a home, who would ever know that God can just tap that child on the shoulder and say, I want you in my service. And mothers and fathers, it might be that son or it could be that daughter that could shake the world for Jesus Christ. You never know. And here God put right in Elizabeth's home the man that was going to lead the way for the coming of his son, Jesus Christ. So what did she do? She voluntarily and nobly dedicated herself to the divine mission of raising her son. And I want you to note, Elizabeth, being a mother was not a burden, it was a blessing. It was not an obligation, but an opportunity. So what did she do? She faced the future with faith. She couldn't understand everything, but she began to see God's work in her son's life. Praise filled her lips. Patience graced her life. And purity described her soul. Now, it's never an easy thing to raise a child, and especially as you get older. And that's true. And especially in the sunset years of life. I well remember when I was growing up, a couple in our church that adopted, they were both in their middle years of life, and they adopted a child, and as the child grew and they got older, life was literally a hell on earth for both of them. And they were two wonderful Christians. So we can understand completely Elizabeth in older age having a son. And together they raised him. But that wasn't the problem with Elizabeth. They faced the future with an undaunted faith. And she believed that God was going to use her son, and he did. And what a ministry. Now, the faith that can be found in the life of Elizabeth as a mother has been given to each and every one of us, fathers and mothers. God has given us the faith to be able to carry on the responsibilities that he's put before us. Someone has put it down in the words of the poem writer, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly foe, that will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain, we lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt." And God can give us that faith to each and every parent. Listen to these words of Jesus. He said, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." What a tribute to give to a young man. And behind that young man was a mother who raised him for the glory of God. And that can be true for each and every one of us. So far this morning, we have looked at two mothers. Eunice, who faced the world with the word. Elizabeth, who faced the future with faith. Now, finally, as we bring this message down to a conclusion, I want us to think of Mary, the mother of John Mark, who faced her problems with prayer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12, if you would, this morning. Acts chapter 12. And I want you to realize and note the words found in verse 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. "When this had dawned on him," speaking of Peter, "he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying." Now, Mary was probably a widow living in Jerusalem. And how and when she became a Christian, we do not know. The Bible doesn't really tell us. But what we do know is this, that her home was a meeting place for those early Christians to pray there in Jerusalem. Now some believe, and I don't know if this is true, but this was the home, the house in which our Lord and his disciples celebrated the Last Supper. Whatever the case, I want you to realize that Mary was a mother who had problems. That's true of all mothers, even back in the first century. Here was a mother who had problems. But I want you to note, she faced these problems with her faith and with prayer. Now, what were Mary's problems? Well, first of all, she had the problem of her foes. Here in the chapter before us, you note, Mary was a Christian. And James was put to death. He was beheaded. So it wasn't popular to be a Christian in those days. Not only that, but Peter was thrown into prison. and believers who met in her home to pray were threatened. As a matter of fact, she herself would have been arrested by Herod's policemen if a search party ever found Peter being hidden in her house. Now, with this problem over her head, Mary joined in corporate praying for the welfare of the whole church. Notice what it says there in verse 12. When this had dawned on him, speaking of Peter, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people were praying, and where many people were gathered and were praying. So Mary prayed about her problem. She was right there with him, praying. So she had her foes. And how did she meet that problem? With prayer. Sometimes prayer is the last instrument that we use. We get in a certain difficulty, whether it's physically or whatever it might be, and the last thing we do is pray about it. And it should be the first thing. Mary recognized she had a son, John Mark. They were meeting in a home to pray, because there was a lot of persecution going on. So Mary was right there. She had her foes. And perhaps you do. As a matter of fact, if you take your stand for Christ as a parent, especially in that local high school when you go to the PTA meetings, you're probably going to be on the lowest rung of the ladder when it comes to people looking up to you, because Christian parents are out today in secular schools. So she had her foes. But secondly, I want you to note, Mary had the problem of her family. And how did she deal with that? She faced it with prayer. Now, we all have family problems. Her son, John Mark, as stated in verse 25 of this same chapter, was chosen by Paul and Barnabas to travel with them as missionaries. And notice what it says there in verse 25. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. So her son went out on a missionary trip. And yet, a short period of time later, according to Acts chapter 13, verse 13, you read there that Mark walked out on his job. He walked away from his responsibility. He quit his post. He lacked the power to see things through. He collapsed under the pressure. And in full retreat, he returned home, leaving his older companions to carry on the work without him. That can happen. And here was Mary, still praying. Perhaps there are some others here this morning. Like Mary, you are agonizing in prayer over a son or a daughter who are out of fellowship with God. They've walked away from their faith. They're no longer interested. They don't come to church. They don't read their Bible. They're just living as though God doesn't exist. Well, I beg of you, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Mary didn't. Notice what she did. All of this time, Mary continued to pray for her son. She realized that no problem was too great for prayer. So here was Mark. He was on a missionary trip, John Mark. He took off. He didn't complete the task. Mary continues to pray. Now, 12 years later, Mark is no longer a boy, but he's a young man. Again, he's ready for missionary service. He wants to try again. But Paul won't let him. So he and Barnabas split over their disagreement. So Barnabas takes John Mark with him to Cyprus. And all of this time, Mary has been praying for John Mark. And as we read the story, we recognize that John Mark redeemed his reputation. The deserter became a declarer. The coward became courageous. The failure became successful. And I want you to get it down in your notes this morning that John Mark became a missionary, a teacher, an evangelist, an author of the second gospel in the New Testament. And eventually, according to Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul recognized the man who wouldn't take him on the missionary trip 12 years before. He recognized him as a servant of Jesus Christ. Now you've got to trace that through, the history of it. All of this because of a Christian mother who learned that problems can be defeated through prayer. If you have a son or a daughter that are away from God this morning, I beg of you, put them on top of your prayer list and don't give up. It's the Spirit of God who breathes the prayer in, and what the Spirit of God breathes in, the human spirit breathes out. And he won't lift the burden until he answers it, and he will. And that's what Mary did. Look, on this Mother's Day Sunday, we need mothers like Eunice who will face the world with the word. We need mothers like Elizabeth who will face the future with faith. And we need mothers like Mary who will face the problems with prayer. And if you this morning will give God complete control of your life as a mother or father, then he'll do something for you and for me. Wouldn't that be wonderful? One of the greatest golfers who ever lived was a man by the name, and he's still playing on the senior tour, but he doesn't go out too much. His name is Gary Player. Some time ago, he wrote an autobiography regarding his life. And in that book, he makes this statement, and I quote, he said, "My mother Muriel Player was a gentle and loving woman, a stickler for discipline and good manners." And by the way, that's something that ought to be true of every mother and every father in the day in which we live. Good discipline and good manners. Player goes on. "She died of cancer at 44 years of age when I was only 8. Can you imagine what that was for a young child? 8 years of age without a mother. But he said her untimely death after 4 or 5 futile operations left a black emptiness in my young life. And suddenly it seemed everything had turned upside down and I ached with loneliness." He was only 8. Well, Muriel did what Eunice, Elizabeth, and Mary of New Testament times. She prepared him spiritually for what he had to go through, never knowing it was going to be at 8 years of age. I continue. "She left an imprint on me during those short years that has never been erased." How much of an impact can a mother make upon a child at 8 years of age? "From her, I began to understand the importance of courtesy and thoughtfulness for others and what it means to have faith in God as a blueprint for life. Each night, Mother knelt beside my bed and listened to my prayers, helping me to understand that there is a God who loves us and who cares about us and what happens to people everywhere." Now get the highlight, the capstone of Player's remarks. He said, "These ideas and beliefs penetrated deeply into my consciousness. And even today, so many years later, 8 years of age, so many years later, courtesy, discipline, faith, love are a rich heritage for a young boy." Muriel Player took to heart the stewardship of what it meant to be a mother. And we can do the same on this Sunday. Every mother and every father. We can face the world with the word. We can face the future with faith. And we can face our problems with prayer. And when we do, certainly the type of mother at the end will be something like this. Of all the earthly things God gives, there's one above all others. It is the precious, priceless gift of loving Christian mothers. And so it is. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these three mothers that we have looked at. Eunice, Elizabeth, Mary, that demonstrated to each and every one of us how we should be as mothers and fathers. With every head bowed this morning and every eye closed, no one looking around. Maybe as a mother or as a father or as a son or a daughter, God has been speaking to your heart. You say, "Pastor Reg, that's what I want to do. I want to face the world with the Word of God from now on. I want to face the future with faith." Maybe for the first time, it's faith in Jesus Christ. "I want to face all my problems and I want to give them to Jesus Christ in prayer. And I know He'll give me the victory." That's the kind of mother, that's the kind of husband I want to be. Father, that's the kind of son or daughter. On this Sunday, this could be an act of dedication, even salvation for the first time in these quiet moments. If God has been speaking to your heart for an affirmation, for rededication, would you just lift up that hand and say, "Pastor Edge, I just want you to know, the sermon has touched my heart this morning, and I want to rededicate myself to be the Christian mother, the father that God wants me to be." Anyone like that? You see that hand? Oh, many hands. Okay. I see that. I see that hand. That hand. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, just in passing, let me ask this question. You're sitting here, you've listened to this message, and if you were to die today, where would you go? Honestly, where would you go? Your answer is, "Pastor Edge, I don't know where I would go. I'm not sure. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure." Look, my friend, you can be sure. You need Jesus Christ. He'll take away your sins. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a purpose for living. And you'll have the assurance of life after death. I just want to pause a moment for any dad, any wife, any child, anybody that's here. If you need Christ right now, would you just lift that hand up and say, "Pastor Reg, I'm accepting Jesus to be my Savior." Put it right up. I just want to make sure. I don't want to miss anybody. Okay? Anyway. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to each and every one of us. And we shall give you the praise. Now, Heavenly Father, as we sing this song and we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we pray, Lord, it will be a wonderful time. And we'll give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.